Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, ever so grateful. It is such an honor and privilege to be able to be free to come and share your word, that which will not be taken away from us. And so we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. In particular, I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips. Indeed, I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that is here, listening to me physically right now, and those that will hear me remotely, electronically. So that this word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray for mercy, that as I pray, Lord God, I will deliver this word, Lord God, with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of the word things new and old, as a scribe instructing of the kingdom. We pray power be released in great measure to follow the word, Lord, as it goes forth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, Lord God, and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We ask for all of these mercies. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving each blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said, amen. We continue our study in God's word. Last week we were in our lesson in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I believe we stopped in verses 4 and 5, wherein we were looking at the fact that we are living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you will, verses 4 and 5. Let's read together again. Say, you also. In everything Jesus is, you are also. You know, he said, coming unto a living stone, and he said, you also. Man, that's not only true of the living stone, it's true of everything. You know, it's God and sons, you see. It's you also. Hallelujah. Jesus is King, you also. Jesus is Lord, you also. Jesus sits on the throne, you also. Jesus has spirit without measure, you also. Everything is, you also. That's what it means to be a joint heir. You also. Don't your neighbor say, you're important too. You also. Praise the Lord. Okay, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 5, if you will, 6 rather, that's what we're going to do today. You know, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Don't you ever say, you will not be confounded. You will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. It says, hope maketh not ashamed. Everything you are hoping for, you will not be ashamed of it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That hope will not be put to shame. You will not be confounded. Hallelujah. This is, you know, one other scripture, you know, it just rang through my mind now. You know, I can't remember exactly where it is, you know, where it speaks, you know, that it is certain, you know, that the word of God is sure, it is certain, you know, you will not be confounded. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8, and I think we'll stop there for today. And a stone of stumbling. Wow. And a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being what? Disobedient. whereunto also they were appointed. We'll come back to this. But let me quickly recap what we said last week. You know, the church is symbolized, the Lord Jesus is symbolized as a stone. Of course, everyone knows Jesus is not a stone. Hello? Jesus is no more a stone than he is a lion, than he is, you know, so many symbolisms are used. You know, we have to understand the Bible is a symbolic book. You know, just like most of the ancient native languages are symbolic. Yoruba, for example, they'll say Igi Atope. If the Yoruba man wants to say something negative about himself, he will not put his name there. He will say Igi Atope. But Igi means stick, Okpe means palm. You know, so both of them are trees, which the Bible speaks about. You know, we all speak, you know, most native languages speak in parables, they speak in symbolisms, they speak in proverbs, you know. I remember Chinua Achebe's book, you know, I read for literature, you see, so it's deep inside my, it's still in my consciousness, you know. It says when you see a toad jumping in the daytime, you know there's something after his life. It's not talking about a toad. So when you see a funny visitor, and literally let us on, it's the Yoruba version, you know, and so on and so forth. So the point is, and the Hebrew and Aramaic is just like that, you know. So a lot of things in the Bible, that is why it is the most dangerous thing you can do is to follow only the letter of the Bible. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to break it down so you can know exactly what God is talking about. Because many times God will talk in symbolisms. So a living stone, hallelujah. So Jesus is a living stone, you know, and then we also are living stones. Now, what's the use of stones to build a temple? How are you stones for? You know, we use blocks. Today we say blocks, stones, same thing. You know, we use it to build something, hallelujah. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that as Christians, we actually are already stones, but we have to be properly prepared. Hello? You know, there's so many things in the scripture that are like that. For instance, the Bible says you're healed. But how many people know that it's not everybody who's healed? You know, experientially, even though the Bible says by itself, you were healed. Are you listening to me? For example, scripture says you're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. That's a positional truth. But it is a truth that you have to, there's something you have to do to experience that truth experientially. And the Lord himself reveals this to us in the book of Revelation when he appears to John and he begins to talk. I need to preach that message sometime soon again, becoming an overcomer. And he says, you know, he that overcometh. And he, you know, you can see different levels of overcoming. First of all, he will not be hurt of the second death. Then he will eat of the tree of life. And then, you know, I'll give him a white stone which no man knows. And then, you know, I will make him a pillar in my house. And then, you know, I'll make him to rule over the nations. And all these are things that have already been promised to us. But he's now showing you the things you have to do so that it becomes experiential. So it is with the living stone. So you are a living stone, you know, but, you know, and then going back to the Old Testament, and I shared this last week, when they were going to build Solomon's temple, the stones were prepared before they were brought to the temple site. Exactly the same thing is true of us right now. You are a living stone, but as I speak, you are being prepared. You're being chiseled, hello. You're being sandpapered. You're being, the part of it is being cut off, and you know, so that you're the right shape, right size, so you will fit into your place in the temple. You have a place inside the temple. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And it is the temple that God wants to build, as is important to him. Now, to understand this, we have to go back to the Old Testament types so that we can understand, have a full, clear picture of what God is doing. You see, there were two houses, physical now, that God had. The first one was the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a little bit, it was very different from the temple. Primarily for three reasons. One, the tabernacle had no foundation. It's a tent. You can put it up anywhere. You know, it's like these things we buy for parties. You know, that's one of the biggest industries in Nigeria. You know, every time you want a party, you just go and get canopy. Mm-hmm. You know, they can just come and set it up in a few minutes, the thing is up. Hello? The tabernacle was a canopy of sorts, you know. number one. Number two, the materials of that canopy were not very solid. They were, but most of it was cloth. Do you understand? It was not actually built to last. Because, and this is the third point, it was a temporary dwelling place. God used it, but it was temporary because God ultimately knew that there was going to be a permanent one. Now, God's permanent temple is you and I. It's not the ones built with physical hands. However, he used the ones built with physical hands as a type, a picture, to say build according to the pattern. You know, to show us what he's planning to do. Okay, so when we get born again, we are like reeds. A reed is like a bamboo. It's like a bamboo stick. You know, it's just like a stick. That's the meaning of the name Simon. So Simon was a reed. A reed can easily be blown by the wind. Are you listening to me? Now, most of the things that were in the tabernacle were made of things like that. They were made of reeds and you know, there was gold there too, but, you know, they were just made of sticks and things like that, you know, that were fashioned and easily, you know, you like these potter cabins, you know. It was just a temporary thing, you know, and God will put it together. But the good news is God's power will inhabit it. Now, I'm going to say this. I preached this some years ago, and I think I mentioned it glancingly last week, but I want to emphasize it today. Practically all churches and Christians today are reeds and tabernacles. They are not temples. Yet. Let me put that proviso. God is just like in the tabernacle. You see, the tabernacle of Moses was something God told them to build. Then he said, look, where I will inhabit it. His glory came down, you know. So just like, you know, the church today. That is why today, anybody can go anywhere and start a church. Doesn't need a foundation. No foundation of revelation or nothing. No stone, nothing. Just put it on the ground, you know, set the sentence up, you know, and you're in business. Praise the Lord. And it's okay. Because God's using it temporarily. It's okay. Because God will use it. The Bible says some preach Christ with the wrong motive. Some preach Christ with the right motive. Say, nevertheless, Christ is praying. God is closed eyes. Look, let the work go on. Amen? Amen. So really, many of us are like that. You know, we're either reeds. It takes reeds to build a tabernacle, but it takes stones to build a temple. And so a lot of what we have today are reeds, you know, with cloth and materials that are not too solid, that cannot last, but God uses it. Very important. Hallelujah. Now, this question of a living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ is the first, you know, he says, you know, he's the chief cornerstone. Then he said, we also are like that. What's the transformation? It's revelation. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Hello. Matthew 16. And look from verse 16. I think it is. Matthew. There we go. And this is the account where Jesus said, who do people say I am? And Peter comes up and says, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. Then Jesus says this. He says, Simon, you say Christ, you're Son of the living God. So verse 17, go on. And Jesus answered, because of time, I'm just going to rush through it. You know, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, you didn't get this by your natural knowledge. I'm just paraphrasing. The Holy Spirit revealed it to you. Then the next verse. And I say also unto you that you are what? I didn't hear you. And upon this what? Rock. The word, the name Peter means stone. It means rock. It was particular to Peter, but it is symbolically true for all of us. Hallelujah. You all start as a reed, and as you get revelation knowledge, you become a rock. Hallelujah. And God wants everyone to become a rock. And it's upon the rock, this rock of revelation, that the Lord Jesus said he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Verse 19, let me just quickly, and I'm going to give to you the keys of, the rock will give you keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth, and whatever you bind in heaven will be bound, even though you're on earth. You start praying as if you are living in heaven. Because whatever you permit from heaven will come to the earth. And whatever you bind on the earth is bound. Whatever you bind in the heavens is bound. Now, practically, what does this mean? What it means simply is this. When you come to a place where you have revelation knowledge, it stabilizes you spiritually. You are no longer doing things because some man preached it to you. You start with that. Don't misunderstand me. But you now begin to know things by the Holy Spirit yourself. And the Holy Spirit, God begins to reveal it to you. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that God shines into your mind from your spirit. Natural knowledge is knowledge that you get through your five physical senses. Your education, what you learn in school, what your parents taught you, all that is natural knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's important in its place, you know. But it has to be, for you to be a spiritual success, it must be complemented by revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is the one that God reveals to you by His Holy Spirit. Light shines from your inner man, from your innermost being, into the mind. Natural knowledge is from the five physical senses, your touching, your tasting, your seeing, your feeling, you know, all the physical senses, the knowledge that comes through your brain into your mind. That's natural knowledge. This one is called revelation knowledge. It does not come from natural observation. It doesn't come from touching, tasting, and feeling. It comes from the Holy Spirit, you know, through shining light into your mind. Both of them are knowledge. And they have the same focal point, the mind. Hello, somebody. You know, that's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. You know, one of the most amazing truths of Scripture is the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul, just to illustrate, Paul was not around when Jesus was around, physically. He was one of the 12 apostles. In fact, that's one of the big problems he had. Amen. Because a lot of the Jews who became Christians, you know, and even some of the apostles, not all of them, later on they got respected, you know, didn't think he was on the same level as they were, because they were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And they had a point. I don't disapprove that. Amen. Sure, he was one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Amen. But he was an apostle of apostles. Amen. Talk to me, man. Hallelujah. You know, but I want you to see something. You know, Paul was not there when Jesus was crucified. He was not there at the Last Supper, but he had a deeper understanding of those things that the people who were there. How did he get it? Revelation knowledge. It did not come by observation. It did not come through. The knowledge Peter and others had initially was sense knowledge. They saw him which we have touched and tasted and handled. Fine. Amen. But thank God they didn't stay there. They also moved into revelation knowledge, like we see Peter here. Are you listening to me? You know, but Paul is a study, because Paul was, he built his, he said, the gospel which I preach, he said, I do not teach it after man. He said, I received it by revelation. In the book of Galatians. That is what makes you a rock. That's why Paul could go to Jerusalem and confront Peter, James, and John and tell them, this is the gospel God gave me. Amen. And said, they that seem to be pillars. He said, and it maketh, about Paul. He said, it maketh no matter to me, for God accepts no man's person. Hallelujah. Rock. Solid. And later on, the Bible says, and when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, they gave unto Barnabas and I the right hand of fellowship, you know, that we should go to the Gentiles and they would now go to the Jews, you know. And later on, Peter said, those things Paul writes, said they're not easy to understand. Amen. Well, I'm making the difference between a reed and a rock. The same in your life, fool. You have to get to a point in your Christian life where you're not doing anything because Pastor Libby says so. You start with doing it because Pastor Libby says so, and he's your pastor. But you will not be a rock if you stop there. You have to come to the point where the Holy Spirit himself begins to show it to you. Then you begin to do it. Let me use my life as an example to the glory of God. Amen. I've heard people like Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon and other men of God that God brought my way. You know, I started with that. And I listened to them. And I started practicing what they did, what they taught. Now, as I practiced and I did what they said, like I shared last week, as I continued in the Word, after a while, as I get revelation myself. It was not what Kenneth Hagin said anymore. Even though I started what Kenneth Hagin said, it was what God had now shown me that now stabilized me. Because when I was back in Nigeria and I was facing all my son, Kenneth Hagin wasn't there. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Amen. You know, I am not. I didn't start scripture pastor because Kenneth Hagin said so. I got a revelation. That's what makes you a rock. It's very important to become a stone. Or should I use the word stone? So that you become solid. And even after you become a stone, you still have to be shaped out. Praise the Lord. You know, so you can fit into your place in the temple. But this transition from being a reed to becoming a stone is very critical. And God can't be, he can't build a temple with reeds. He can't. He can't. And sadly, many people don't want to go from reed to rock. I mean, if a reed is in the house anyway, and he's going to heaven. Hello? You know, if you look at the types, you know, Paul, same Paul again, you know, writing, he said, in a great house there are many vessels. Then he uses, in this time, he uses gold. He uses, you know, silver. Then he uses wood. What's the reed made from? Wood. You know, and earth, you know, which are, they are not, those materials are not as durable as gold and silver. You want to build, you don't build with, you know, you have to be with something solid that will last. You know, and God's presence in the temple is permanent. God's presence in the tabernacle is intermittent, is sporadic. It comes and goes. The thing will go up and then they will move, then it will come down again. Well, in the temple, when they finished the temple of Solomon, they took out the staves to show, symbolizing that God is a place of permanent abode. And this is typified in the ministry and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when he's baptized by John in the Jordan River. The Bible says the heavens opened and the Spirit of God, like a dove, is not a dove, like a dove. You know, we get all this funny, you know, is everybody going around with this little bird on there? And I use it to myself. There's nothing wrong with it. Praise the Lord. Amen. The biggest mistake you can ever think is that the Holy Ghost is a dove. The Holy Ghost is not a dove. He has some of the, in the sense of his sensitivity, and where he will not strive with man. So he'll just lift if your attitude is wrong and all that. So in that sense, he's like a dove. But he's far from a dove. He's a consuming fire. Unless you don't know him. Praise the Lord. Although very patient and very kind. Very powerful. Are you listening to me? So the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit rather, comes upon the Lord Jesus. And I like the way the scripture says this, and remained. Because he was a rock. Those 33 years had made a temple out of him. 30 years. Those 30 years, he had grown and he had become an individual temple. When you become a rock and God finishes with you, you as an individual, you become an individual temple. Because the glory of God will come upon your life. Hallelujah. Either borrowed or inherited. Glory be to God. It is these finished rocks or stones that qualify for the temple. For the corporate temple. I want to say something that will blow the religious mind, but I really don't care. I care, not that I don't care about you, I do. You know, I love people. But what I mean is, I'm not in a popularity contest, praise the Lord, to try and impress men. There are no temples on the earth today. There are none. Pastor Lubia, can you say that? We have plenty of tabernacles. But no temples. Amen. You know how? If there's a temple on the earth, we'll all know. You know why? It will have the glory of God permanently. Hallelujah. I like what they said, you know, about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he came out of the wilderness and after the temptations of the 40 days. You know, the Bible says, you know, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And what happened? And the fame of him. You won't need, you don't, if he's there, we would have known. Hello? That's why I know he's not there yet. But thank God he's in construction. Now that's the good news. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Or shall we say it this way, which is probably more accurate. The stones are being prepared. Amen. And then God will finally put us together. And like I said last week, we're going to see three levels. We're going to see the individual temples, which will be stones that will be like Jesus. Amen. Then we're going to see local temples. Local temples like scripture pastor, for example. This is local. This is a local, you know, you have local temples all over the world, you know. And then we'll have finally the universal temple, which the Lord Jesus Christ himself will inhabit. And when he comes, you know, that's what we see in the book of Revelation, where he says, you know, and God took me up in the spirit, and I saw the Lamb, the wife, you know, like, let's look at it. Revelation, it's a beautiful scripture, you know, Revelation 21. People are familiar with those scriptures. Well, people don't like reading the book of Revelation. The carnal mind is terrible. Yeah, afraid of the book of Revelation. Remember when I was a young Christian? You know, I don't read Revelation, it'll make you afraid. Yeah, the Bible says, blessed is the person who reads this book. I say, why don't I read it? I don't know, because I have to read Revelation. Amen. You know, so I can understand what's going to happen. Glory be to God. Okay, here we go. Amen. Okay, and Revelation chapter 21. Where am I? Yes. Look at verse 10. Verse 9. And there came unto me, I didn't hear you, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. You know? And this is the church. This is the glorious, perfect church. Universal now. This contains all saints from all ages, right from the Garden of Eden, right until, you know, the end of the tribulation. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Another message for another day. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss New Year's service. Watch night service. Oh. I'll be talking about mountain and temple. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the 12 gates, at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3, 4, 5, you know, because of time, I don't want to go into all of that, you know, but let's jump to verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations, this is lovely, of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first was jasper, and so on and so forth. You know, but I don't want to, you know, because of time, you know. And there was no temple therein. And the Lord God had the temple of it. In other words, God now inhabited that city. You know who that city is? You and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a beautiful, and I think it's here to somewhere where it says, and in the names of the 12 apostles were written in the foundation of the walls of the city. Is it here in 21 or 22? It's somewhere there anyway. But because I want to keep to my point, the point is this. This is the universal temple. This is the one made up of all saints from all ages, you know, all brought together. This thing we see is a symbolic, there's going to be, I believe it's going to be literal too. Do you understand? There's going to be a literal golden city, you know, and your name is going to be there somewhere. Everybody who is a Christian, and who is, I have to say this, I know they don't like me to say it, but I'm going to say it, you know, and who has been faithful. Because not everybody is designed to be there. But not everybody will be there. Very sad, but very true. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, he that had this hope in him purifies himself. That's why you need to behave yourself. Amen? Amen? And what happens is that, you know, the apostles, the first 12, minus Judas, sadly. Look at what that guy threw away. For what? 30 pieces of silver. It's never worth it all. For what? For what? Amen? The names of the apostles are inside the foundation, not of the whole temple, but of the wall. The city still has buildings and all kinds of things inside. So you can imagine the billions and billions and millions of saints down through the ages. So your own name. I know if I'm exciting anybody here. You know, people aren't so excited about heaven anymore. You know, we're so earthly minded. Your own name, you understand, is inside, there's a place inside the city where your name will be eternally put. You know, when you get to Abuja, you see Azikwe Road, you see this, you see that, name of the great nationalist Awolowowe and things like that. You know, you even have here in Ibadan, you know, where we honor our compatriots and the people who went ahead and fought for independence. That's great. Amen. That's only natural. Amen. This one's going to be eternal. There will be a highway, and there will be a road, and there will be a building, and some people's names will be inscribed on it. Live right now. So you can secure, make your calling and election sure. secure your place. Hallelujah. This is the universal temple that God will inhabit. And he's going to inhabit it forever. Are you listening to me? We're coming back to earth. Praise the Lord. It's good to get back to earth. Amen. Right now, as I speak, present truth, where our stones, we're being prepared to become stones. Those who are stones are being chipped, you know, so that we can form at least local temples now. Local temples will now have the glory of God, like the Lord Jesus did, the Spirit without measure, and will do great works, great wisdom, great power, great glory. And that's what the whole earth is waiting for as we speak. And that's why, let's get back to 1 Peter now. Hello? Yep. Right. So it says, you're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We'll talk more about the priesthood next week. You know, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice. We offer up spiritual sacrifices now, not like the physical animal sacrifices they used to offer in the Old Testament. And as it is also contained in the scripture, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. We shared this last week. Elect and precious. Now, this is where we didn't get to. And he that believeth on him will not be confounded. And I mentioned this earlier on, that when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that hope, that faith will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Because God watches over his word to perform it. God is a faithful God. Are you listening to me? You know, and there are great things God has said in his word that he's going to do for his people. And I find it very comforting and reassuring. Paul says it, you know, Joel said it. You know, you keep seeing, it's a recurring thing. You see it again in Isaiah, you know, he says, for your shame you will have double. You know, in other words, there will be a period of time where it looks as if you are being put to shame. In other words, all the things that they have been saying, nothing has come. So look as if, where is the promise of his coming? You know, he said, but for that shame, he said, you will have double. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so be encouraged. Are you listening to me? You will not be confounded. Now, these two very important points I'm going to make before I close. Verses 7 and 8. You know, he said, this unto them, unto you who therefore believe. Let's read together. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them, which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is made, the same is made the head of the corner. I shared this last week when you want to build a house, you know, where you're building and all of that. They always, they call it turning of the sword. You know, there's always usually a ceremony, particularly if it's an important house. You know, either the president will come or whoever, some big man, you know, and they will come and they will lay the foundation. And what they do is they take about two or three stones. They want big one, then they take maybe about two little ones that will come next to it, then they put cement in it and all that. It now forms the cornerstone from which the rest of the building, you know, they take all measurements and it's like an origin. They take all measurements and everything from that point, all of the measurements and everything. It becomes a reference point for the rest of the building. Are you listening to me? Spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Pharisees and the Sadducees had rejected, was the one God now chose to become the chief cornerstone for God's temple, for God's purpose on the earth. Everything takes reference from Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? You can't do anything apart from Jesus. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Now, but the precious news that I want to take this a step further for you and I today is this. He said this is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, you know, if you read this thing on the surface, just the English, you know, I did comprehension and English in school. My wife has a PhD in English. You know, and So if we're just going to analyze the English, it would seem, it is not, but it would seem that some people were appointed to be disobedient. But how can that be? God is a righteous God. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? So what? Let's go and dig and find out what is God actually saying there. Why is it? Let me say it in a simple way, in a simpler way. How come some people stumble at the word of God and some accept it? How come? How is it that there are some people you find they are always stumbling? You know, being disobedient. You know, in fact, you begin to wonder, God, how come? This person will hear the word, he will accept it. You give the same word to another person, and that other person will just reject it. You know, the very thing you're even trying to use to explain to him becomes a stumble. It even makes him more confused. You know, and he begins to stumble. There's a reason. And that's the crux of my message this morning as I close. It is this. I wrote it down. I've never, over the years, I haven't connected it like this before. The Lord Jesus Christ is a stumbling stone to the dishonest and a precious stone to the honest. Watch this. Honesty leads to faith, believing. Dishonesty leads to unbelief and disobedience. You know where I got it from? I got it from Scripture. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 18. This is, you know, when every time I go back to this Christianity, it always comes back to this honesty. And I in my own personal experience and life, I've come to see that it's not just something you do, you have to maintain it. It is this dishonesty of heart that causes people to stumble at the word. Then instead of that word becoming a rock of stability, now becomes a rock of offense. The same word. Look at Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God, open your mouths. Don't worry, it's not falling on you. Just open your mouth. Say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? Hold the truth in unrighteousness. Stop! They have the truth. You can't have something you don't hold. They know the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. And I'll tell you my personal experience when I got born again. You know, I've shared this testimony over the years. Look at listen carefully to the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. Who do what? Listen to this. God is angry against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men because they hold the truth. You know, right? You can say dishonesty. Next verse. This is why they stumble. Because that which may be known of God is what? Manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Them who? Them all men. Them all men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know, judgment day is going to be an interesting day. It is going to be an interesting day. You know, in natural courts, in the physical courts, in human courts, you know, they can produce witnesses, you know, that give evidence in court before the judge, you know, finally makes the final judgment. They will bring all kinds of things, you know, to prove or not to prove, you know, either the innocence or the guilt of somebody, you know. And you may not know this, but I want you to fear God. And I want you to know this. Know it of a certainty. If you don't know anything, hold what I'm about to say to you. Everything you are thinking and doing is being recorded. And it's going to be played back on Judgment Day. You can fool men, You can't fool God. Stop playing games. Everything you are thinking, everything you say, everything you do is diligent. It's not just recorded, it's diligently recorded. In fine detail. That is why the Bible tells in the book of Revelation, we won't turn there because of time, at the judgment seat of both of Christ and as well as, you know, the great white throne judgment, he says, and the books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life. What is books? Plural. Books. Plural. It's the record of you and me. The book, and another book, which is the book of life. And everyone was judged out of the things which were written in the books. You're going to find something, oh, whether you accept it or whether you don't accept it, is the truth. Do you understand? You're going to find something. God is righteous. If you don't believe it now, you will believe it then. God will help you to believe it now. God is righteous. He says that thou mayest be justified when thou art judged. Not only will man be on trial, God will be on trial. That is the one that people don't know. It is not only man who will be on trial on that day. God himself will be on trial. Why did you make us when you knew you were going to fall? Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you that? All those questions will be answered. All the evidence, everything God did, all the preparation, all the sacrifice, everything to make a way for you will be shown, and what you did with it. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Hallelujah. Hence the scripture, he has magnified his word far above his name. God himself. Hallelujah. You will get to understand. It is only an honest person like God that can record the things that are recorded inside the Bible. If God was like you, thank God he's not like you. There are many things in the Bible that will not be there. Are you listening to me? Who will go and tell? God records both success and failure, even of the best of his saints. The best, Abraham, David, the guys. God himself said he's a man after my own heart. When he failed, God didn't hide it. Put it there. You know why? He knows he's going to be judged. God knows that. He knows that a day is coming when everything is going to be put out. Everybody's going to see everything. Listen, Romans, I'm not going to go there because of time. You know what Paul said? He said, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men's hearts according to my gospel. He said, that's why he was talking about the Gentiles then. And people who had not yet received Christ. Like our own forefathers in Africa, with the gospel had not been preached to. He said that the Gentiles, which not having, thank God for Paul. He said, they don't have the law. He said, but they have the work of the law shown in their conscience. They meanwhile either excusing or accusing one another in the day. So everything will be recorded. And everything will be shown. You will now know why this one went and this one didn't go. And you will then know that truly God is a righteous God. He will not do anything. He says righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. These are scriptures that helped me when I was a young Christian. There are certain things I settled. One, God is light, he uses darkness at all. I settled it. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. God also is not in all this funny business. He will tell you up front the way it is. He will give you the conditions. You do it, you get this. You don't do it, you get this. He will show you mercy. He will give you space. He covers his bases. Hallelujah. He does not talk and, you know, like us. You know, God does not talk and act anyhow. He's conscious of the fact that he has made man in his image. That is something that cannot be reversed. And hence, he has to make sure that he himself is righteous and does things, because he will be held accountable for the man that he made. I don't know if you've ever heard this kind of preaching before. Well, you're hearing it now. Are you listening to me? Yes! God is accountable. He told me many years ago, he said, I'm not a careless God. I'm not a responsible God. I didn't just make you and leave you here. He said, that's why I came myself. So you won't say I'm sitting in heaven and it's easy for you. You know, if God never came, like Jesus, who said, it's okay, you can talk, you know, but he was tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin, with the same limitations. And he stripped himself of his own omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, kept in the custody of the two other two persons of the Godhead who did not cheat, and made sure he went through the same thing every other person goes through. Who, in the days of his flesh, offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying. Though he were a son, he still had to learn obedience by the things that he suffered, just like you and I. So when he is judged, he will be found righteous. Don't mess around, though. Take this thing seriously. I don't know if I've talked to anybody here. Are you listening to me? Let's get back to Romans chapter 1. You see, these things I'm preaching to you, they were told to me by the Holy Spirit when I was 21 years old. My whole life was in front of me. I was making decisions that were going to affect my whole life. So I went to God and said, you must explain this thing to me. I want to understand why I am doing what I am doing. And he did. I was satisfied. Satisfied. That's why God gave us the Bible. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will show us. And discover that God is a straightforward person. Very straightforward. Arrow straight. A person you can rely on. Are you listening to me? He doesn't play all these funny games men play. It's men who do that. Gods don't do that. Mere men do that. Divine men don't do that. We are like God. The integrity is our watchword. Honesty, righteousness, justice is the habitation of our throne. We don't behave like ordinary men. What are you going to do for us that we will fear? Jesus said, if they kill the body and they kill, says, after that, what can they do? He said, but then I'll tell you who to fear. After he had killed body, he's able to put it in hell. He said, yes, I say, fear him. That's the person I'm talking about this morning. I'll tell you another one you probably haven't heard recently. This same God went into hellfire for you. To provide a legal basis for him to set you free. How then shall you escape? If you neglect so great a salvation. Of what sorrow punishment shall he be thought of? Who trod underfoot the Son of God and considered the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing? And he said, brethren, we are persuaded of things better than that. He got there and he just came back. Don't mess around. Back to Romans 1. I like this. I like his sober attitude. Romans chapter 1. Huh! Romans chapter 1, yeah. For God, not the devil, God has showed it to them. That's why I have, personally, I'm talking to myself personally, and God's having mercy on me. I'm becoming more and more like God every day. You know, I have very little patience. I have patience in Jesus' name. You know, with dishonest people. I don't like it. Just like God. For God has showed it to them. Next verse. These are the scriptures I got born again on. You've heard my testimony. I was in my room, youth co-oper, in Ikom, Cross River State. This was about April, May 1979. Late April. It's around my birthday. That I didn't even think of my birthday. You know? You know, as I read the scriptures, they hit my conscience and said, they have caught you. You better just hands up. And that's what I did. Next verse. For the invisible things of him from the creation are clearly, mark those words very carefully. They are written by a master lawyer. Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Any honest human conscience will respond guilty as charged. I got a little bit as a something the Holy Spirit. You know, when we were in school, I don't know, those of you who grew up in Nigeria, you know, they've changed everything, everything's gone upside down now, you know, I really don't know what they teach them anymore. You know, but when we were in school, you know, we did religious studies. We called it BK. It was Bible knowledge. We didn't even call it religious. You know, thank God, all that has to return. We did BK. We did Bible knowledge. Then they would teach us from Kings. I remember I still did Sennacherib. I did all those things when I was in Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, Form 4. You know, when I was in secondary school. You know, we were taught, you know. And in the New Testament, this is the point I want to make. You know, we were given the book of Luke and Acts of the Apostles. How come they never let us read the epistles? Satan. Go and check the curriculum. They will give you four Gospels, Acts of Apostles. For the children to learn. Let every child study this. They will get born again. I asked myself, I had an A3 in Bible knowledge. A distinction. And so I said, Bible, well, I know Bible now, you know. Yeah, and I meant it. And I did. I did. But nobody ever told us about what the Apostle Paul wrote. I read that thing as a young boy in my youth choir room. I said, did he tell us this? I've never heard, nobody has ever, I've never had anybody say anything about this before. That's how I got born again. Next verse, I'm not done yet. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I got to stop there. I could go on, but you know, it goes into homosexuality and all that. But the point I want to make is this. What led to this sad condition? Dishonesty. Dishonesty. Let's retrace it back. What did he say?
he said, "For that which may be known of God has been made known, for God hath showed it to them, so that they are without excuse. For the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." I'm a scientist by training. I had a first degree in physics, a second degree in electrical engineering. You know, now I did more physics. I'm still doing physics. Okay? As a young child, I've always been intrigued by the heavens. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the earth so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder how you are. Now, wonder. Oh, put the stars there. Put the stars there. Then they're going around. 365 days a year. Always. Then the earth is on its axis. Then that one is rotating 24 hours a day on its own axis. And that other one is now going around the earth. So you've got what we call in physics, you've got 2 degrees of freedom. Precision. Precision. That's why it says God has showed it to them. The heavens declare the glory of God. Then you look at your physical body. The one that really passes me. I mean, there's a lot, but the one that is there, you know, we breathe out carbon dioxide. The plants take it in for photosynthesis and they now release oxygen. And then you tell me there is no God. It is the oxyhemoglobin that goes to your blood, that carries the oxygen from your lungs and then takes it round the whole body. The same one the plants give out. There's nitrogen cycle, there's water cycle, there's carbon cycle, there's Krebs cycle. The people who should believe in God the most are scientists. That's why their judgment will be the worst. Don't worry, the books have been written. Everything is being recorded. What they taught you, how you saw the heavens, how you saw your body, and how the Holy Spirit said, "For God has showed it to them." And the Holy Spirit whispered to you, "I'm here." He said, "Don't believe in any God. It's recorded. It's recorded. It's recorded. Everything is being recorded. And one day, you'll be faced with the evidence at the judgment seat of God." Got one more scripture. Big John, chapter 1, verse 9. Well, look at verse 4 and verse 9. Oh! This was the true light. Hey, this is Jesus. In him was life. I didn't hear you. And the life was the light of men. And this is the true light that lighted every man. Verse 9. And this was the true light that lighteth every man, except Olubi, because he was born into a Muslim family. Using myself, you can't, you know. That lighted him to, you know. So he didn't light me, Abi. That's why the scripture says, and you know, it's John who writes this. He said, he that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He said, he that believeth, watch this. He that believeth not God, you know, he says, has made him a liar. For he believeth not the witness that God gave of his Son. It means God put that witness in everybody. You can accept it. You can reject it.
1 John.
He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believeth not God. Let me paraphrase that. He that believeth not God after the witness was shown to him. Do you understand? He that rejected the witness that God gave him hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Selah. It's not philosophy. It's not religion. It's reality. There is nobody on this planet. Nobody born of woman that during the evolution of their growth, during their evolution as they grow, you know, at one point in time or the other, the Spirit of God will bear witness. I'm going to read what I read, what I wrote earlier on. I'll say it. Honesty leads to faith. Dishonesty leads to unbelief. And it is the faith or the unbelief that will either cause that rock to be precious or to be a stumbling stone. The reason why people are stumbling over the word of God is dishonesty. And it's that dishonesty that does not lead to faith, that shuts out the grace that will give you the strength for obedience. It's a cycle. There's a connection here. But the base thing, the foundational thing is dishonesty. It's dishonesty. I don't want to get this. How can somebody look at this creation? No, even if I don't accept God immediately, I cannot look at this creation honestly. With any degree of honesty in my heart, and say, there must be something bigger than me. Now, what that is, I don't know yet. Then I start to seek it. And the Bible says, if you seek me, I seek you with all your heart. You say you will find me. I did. Millions have. When you don't, it's because you are dishonest. Or you look at creation. You know, that's the next place in that Romans 1, you know, that is so strong and powerful that Western countries have tried to, you know, England and America, they've tried to suppress it, but you can't suppress the word of God. And that's why some of these elections, some of things that have happened, God's allowing them. Do you understand? To try and correct. All those people are not even preaching the word of God themselves. Guys, you know, but God uses everything. Do you understand? How can you look at creation and say man and man can be together? It's an aberration. He said, men live in the natural use of men. Women live there, you know, burning. He said, you know, that which was escapable and they receive the just recompense of their error in themselves. It does. You don't need rocket science. Just the anatomy alone will tell you it's not so. Can you see that the root of our problem, I'm going to close, don't worry, is dishonesty. And this is not only true before you get born again, it's also true after you get born again. It's the same dishonesty. I don't speak in tongues. Tongues is not for everybody. This argument was going on in my Christian union in Imperial College. When I was a young Christian, I was just new to the place. I didn't know which one for the other. What saved me? Honesty. Paul said, do all speak in tongues? Yeah, I know he said that. You know? Then I go and read another place. I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. I would that you all speak in tongues. He that speaketh not in tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And he builds himself up. Who doesn't want that? Then you see all of that, and you still say, I don't believe it. You know what? Just stumbled again on the word. Dishonesty. I'm going to close. Trust me, I'm going to close. Paul was allowed 3 or 4 finalists. So I'm still in good company. The thing is burning my spirit. And I got to get it out to you. Because I have to. If I don't say this one, I won't finish it properly. See, I talked about it at Passover. I've talked about it at Pentecost. And I'm going to come talk about it about tabernacles. The scripture says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But if that was alone, maybe we would say, yeah, maybe. He says, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, that we may grow up into him in all things. Then he goes to say, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he also do. Then he says, no disciple is greater than his master. But when a disciple becomes perfect, he'll become as his master. Then he says, as he is, so are we in this world. And you look at all of that and say, I don't believe it. You just stumbled on this block. The same dishonesty that stopped those guys from getting born again is the same dishonesty that stopped the people from going into Pentecost and speaking in tongues. Is the same dishonesty that's stopping them from going into perfection. Let us pray. Unto whom coming as a rock, precious, but a rock of stumbling to them that are disappointed, whereunto they are appointed. If you don't deal with the dishonesty in your heart, you are appointed to stumble. Deal with it. And it's a daily thing. It's a continuous thing. This honesty thing is something you have to treasure and look after in your life. The whole gospel, the whole our whole interaction with God has its foundation in honesty, truth, righteousness, integrity. The foundation of God's throne is based on righteousness and justice. That's why the first things, when he's revealing himself to us, he lets us know that he is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't deal in all those kind of things. He is not a man that he should lie. What he has said, that's what he will do. He says, I watch over my word to perform it. So always watching over his word to make sure what he has said is what he will do. No word from God shall be void of power. Don't stumble on the rock. If we're going to give a title to this message, that would be it. Don't stumble on the rock. And the thing that makes people stumble is dishonesty. That's why you can't afford it. Don't exercise. And the human heart is so, it says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked because of the satanic nature inside it. We'll look at truth and we'll call it a lie. We'll be looking at it like this and we'll call it a lie. And like Joseph Goebbels infamously said, out of Hitler's propaganda minister, says if you say a lie, say it long and long and long and long enough, people will start accepting it as the truth. And history has proven that to be true. Of course, ultimately it will be shown to be a lie. But for a while, like somebody said, you can fool some of the people some of the time.
But you can't fool all the people all of the time. You can tell a lie for some of the time, but a day will come when the truth will prevail. Ultimately, you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Talk to God. Probably one of the most messages you would have heard this year. Truth, honesty, so you don't stumble. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, please forgive me. And I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart. And show yourself strong.
Magnify.
Hallelujah.
Magnify.
Magnify. raise the other one to God. Your eyes are symbolic of your mind. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. If God can help us, as God helps us, certainly God can help us. As God helps us, as we allow God to help us, to exercise honesty of heart, we will make it, we will keep increasing our Christianity. We will never stumble. Long ago, relatively now, I made up my mind I was going to be honest with the Word of God. The Bible is true, you know. Whether you believe it or not, has nothing to do with the reality. The Bible has always been true, is true, and will always be true. Your believing or not believing is what's going to affect your own personal life, but it will not change the truth. The law of gravity is true. You don't believe it, whether you believe it or not, that's got nothing to do with it. It's a physical law. The law of radiation, the law of x-rays. You go expose yourself to x-rays. I don't believe it. I can't feel it. It won't change the fact that it's going to destroy your tissue. See, sometimes we think too much of ourselves and our own opinions. Who are you anyway? Made given the likeness of God. Thank God for that. But you're created, by God who has set laws into operation. You believe in or not believe in them won't change them. Thy word is truth. Raise that hand.
There is nothing you can't do.
Oh Lord, let it be personal. My eyes are on you. My eyes are on you.
My eyes are on you.
My eyes are on you. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking my right standing with God so that the life of God can flow maximally into my spirit so my prayers will avail much. Father, I thank you for this word. You have put me into remembrance because I know it. But you've put me into remembrance of the integrity of your word. And the need for a heart of honesty and humility to walk with you. Lord, I repent of any dishonesty I have exercised myself in hitherto. And I determine by your mercy and by your grace to continue from here on to exercise absolute honesty of heart. With your word. Oh God, your word says, who shall ascend to your tabernacle? Who shall come unto your holy? It says, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. Oh God, I may not say to men, but to you, I will always say the truth. I will always say the truth. And I will deal with you in truth and honesty so that I can receive mercy. I can receive grace so that I will come to a place of faith where the invisible will become real to me. I will see the invisible things of you clearly by the things that you have made. I will see you who is invisible, even though I cannot see with my physical eyes, and therefore grow from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. In Jesus' name. Nekatofrenenga tolomashe. Zifriki tolomashalaka. Zikitofrenengaras. Lambrikitofreneka kagamashuku. Librikitofrenes. Zikitofrenenga. Zefria. Lambrikitoskofrenes. Zikitofrenengara mashaliku. Zefri. Lambrikitoskofre. Lambrikitoskofrenia. Pongetoskofrenes. Langakatoskofre. Zola briga, jiviki, yukuro, zafrega gramatoloma, Lambricatofredes, Lambricatoscofrede, Lambricantolomashala, Lambricatolomatolomatolom tolom tof 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 tofreshe, Lambricamatolom tof tofreshingara, Tolomangaras, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. I didn't plan that it would go like this, but I believe the Holy Spirit is preparing us for the new year. So who shall ascend to his holy hill? It's very significant. The Holy Spirit, through David, said, "He that speaketh the truth in his heart." The heart there is very important. The heart. God has given us the key into the year that is ahead. Always speak the truth in your heart. Drown out the noise of men, the noise of people, human opinion. And David says the same thing, or the psalmist is in Psalm 77. He says, "I communed with my own heart upon my bed. I made diligent search." It's a good exercise. Mommy recently has been encouraging some people to do this. I do it daily. And I've always believed we all did it, but obviously many people don't do it. I don't just say, "Father, I confess my sins," and that's it. No, I do that to activate the blood. Then after I've done all of that, I go to God and say, "God, yesterday, how was it?" Okay, I'm sorry about that. I'll do better there. I'll exercise myself on that. I've been doing it for years. It's critical. Because this chief cornerstone, this rock of revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will either stumble on it, let me say it this way, it will either be a stepping stone or a stumbling block. That's why some people go forward and some people keep falling over the same thing over and over and over again. Because the thing that will make it a stepping stone is honesty. The thing that makes it a stumbling block is dishonesty. Always tell the truth to yourself in your heart. I have such a burden. I bless the Holy Spirit just... Phew, I mean, I had it in my notes, but I didn't know it would go this much. He said, a man takes a stick. He goes to the forest. He cuts the trunk, the branch of a tree. Makes it, removes something, makes it beautiful, puts eyes on it. You know, makes it in the caricature of a human being. Then he puts it in front of him. Then he bows to it and says, "You are my God, you will deliver him." You know what the Bible says? He said, "Is there not a lie in your right hand? Is it not you who went to the forest to cut the tree? How come they can't see it?" God said, "Is there not a lie in your right hand? And you bow to the stock of a tree and you say, 'You are my God, deliver me.'"
The tree you yourself use your hand to cut. It's terrible. It tells us the level of depravity of the human heart. I said it many times, I'm going to keep saying it. This last election in America shows you just how the human heart. People who are saying one thing, you know, just a few weeks later, they are saying a completely different thing. At least you have enough integrity to say, okay. Because of what you're going to get. We've reached a sorry state in human affairs, and the church is the only salvation. If we cannot tell the truth, who will tell the truth? If there is no truth in the pillar and ground of truth. God have mercy on us.